Dakuya Podcast Channel. Wisdom for the ear from ancient Egypt. From the banks of the Nile to the halls of eternity, the pharaohs of Egypt ruled as kings, warriors, and gods. This is Voices of the Pharaohs, where we uncover the power, the myths, and the legacies that still shape history today. Before there were pharaohs, pyramids, or hieroglyphs, Egypt was already home to some of the earliest chapters in the human story, the land that would one day give rise to kings and gods, first nurtured hunters, gatherers, and farmers who laid the foundations for civilization. Step into a world where history comes alive. Welcome to Pharaoh's Bazaar, your gateway to the wealth of ancient Egypt. Here, every product tells a story, from reconstructed ritual goods to sacred scents, to handcrafted treasures inspired by the Nile. Pharaoh's Bazaar offers more than items. It offers experiences. Whether you're a historian, a reenactor, or simply someone who longs to bring the magic of Egypt into your daily life, our marketplace is where the ancient meets the modern. And the best part? You don't need to travel across the desert sands. Explore our collection online at pharaohsbazaar.com or find us at open-air markets across California. Authentic, evocative, timeless. That's the promise of Pharaoh's Bazaar. So why settle for ordinary when you can own a piece of eternity? Visit pharaohsbazaar.com today and bring the wealth of ancient Egypt home. Let's begin at the very beginning, not with Narmer, not with the pyramids, but with the first humans who walked the Nile Valley. Egypt has one of the richest records of human history on Earth. Fossil evidence shows that hominins lived here nearly 500,000 years ago, moving along the Nile corridor as part of the great migration of our species. By around 40,000 years ago, modern humans, Homo sapiens, were leaving traces of their lives in caves and desert oases, painting, hunting, and adapting to the shifting climate of North Africa. As the Ice Age ended and the Sahara dried, the Nile became a lifeline. Communities gathered along its banks, fishing, herding, and eventually farming. By 6,000 to 4,000 BCE, Neolithic villages dotted Upper and Lower Egypt. They cultivated wheat and barley, raised cattle and goats, and crafted pottery decorated with bold red and black designs. These were not yet Egyptians as we think of them, but they were the ancestors of the pharaohs, people who were beginning to organize themselves into chiefdoms and ritual communities. Out of these early societies emerged the predynastic rulers. They were not kings in the later sense, but local chieftains and proto-kings who commanded loyalty, led in war, and presided over ritual. Archaeology gives us tantalizing glimpses, decorated palettes showing boats, animals, and battles. Tombs at sites like Nakata and Hierakonpolis, filled with grave goods and the earliest symbols of authority, maces, crowns, and standards. These rulers were the bridge between prehistory and history. They transformed scattered villages into regional powers, laying the groundwork for unification. By the late 4th millennium BCE, figures like the Scorpion King and Narmer were already experimenting with kingship, warfare, and divine symbolism. Their reigns mark the threshold where myth, archaeology, and history converge. So when we talk about the pre-dynastic rulers of Egypt, we're not just talking about a list of names. We're talking about the birth of kingship itself, how human communities along the Nile evolved from small bands of farmers into the world's first nation state. It's a story that begins with the deep history of our species in Africa and culminates in the rise of the pharaohs. Close your eyes and step into the temples of ancient Egypt. Imagine the air thick with frankincense, myrrh, and kaifu, the sacred aromas once reserved for queens, priests, and gods themselves. At Sacha Nacharu, ancient Egyptian beauty, we've spent years researching and reconstructing the beauty rituals of the ancients. Our bath and beauty creations are crafted from natural ingredients from Egypt, frankincense, myrrh, Mendesian oils, and sacred blends, designed to protect, beautify, and enchant. This isn't just skincare, it's ritual. It's history. It's the divine touch of Egypt, reborn for the modern world. Whether you seek a luxurious bath, a fragrance that lingers like a hymn, or a beauty ritual that connects you to the mysteries of the Nile, Sacha Nacharu brings you closer to the gods. Experience the divine. Awaken the ancient. Transform the everyday into ceremony. Visit senseofthegods.com today and bring the timeless beauty of Egypt into your life. Join me as we explore the Nasutil, Sedge rulers of Upper Egypt, and Bitu, Bee rulers of Lower Egypt, beginning approximately 8,000 years ago, and learn about the Egypt of the pre-dynastic pharaoh. The pre-dynastic period refers to Paleolithic times, circa 6000 BCE to just before the unification of Upper and Lower Egypt, circa 3100 BCE. However, archaeological evidence finds the earliest proof of hominins, specifically Homo erectus, is found in Egypt dating back to 500 to 700,000 years ago. By the Middle Paleolithic times, 300,000 until about 30,000 years ago, Homo erectus was replaced in Egypt by a more direct ancestor, Homo sapiens neanderthalensis. 40,000 years ago, we saw anatomically modern humans using tools in northern Africa known today as the Aterian industry. As modern genetics has revealed, they interbred with Neanderthals as they replaced them as the dominant species in Egypt. Most of what we know about the era before the pharaohs is from archaeological excavations, which makes more precise dating difficult. The first settlements were placed along the Nile in what is now known as the Wadi Halfa, or the Alliance Desert in Arabic, in northern Sudan 40,000 years ago. They were semi-sedentary, quickly taken down and moved by a hunter-gatherer population. Around the same time, at the oasis known commonly as Al-Kharga Oasis in Upper Egypt, hominins entered what is known as the Aterian period, a time in North Africa when people began using stone tools. Various sizes of arrows and spear points were found at the prehistoric site of Gebel el-Tir at Kharga. Approximately 2,000 years earlier, between 42,000 and 32,000 years ago, the Hormuzan industry thrived in Upper Egypt and Sudan, with stone tools and arrow points of stone, hematite, and animal bone. Toward the end of the Hormuzan industry, the first confirmed human skeleton in North Africa was found in Upper Egypt at Nazlet Khatr. The Mesolithic era cultures in Upper Egypt and Upper Nubia grew and fell independently within no more than 4,000 years between 22,500 and 9,000 years ago. The Halfan culture originates in Fayum Oasis from the Coptic and ancient Egyptian Pa'ayam, meaning sea or lake, referring to the Lake Moeris in Upper Egypt.
Migrants from Fayum joined others in the Arabian Peninsula and invented nomadic pastoralism. This first group may have spread the Proto-Semitic language to Mesopotamia.
Ahakamat, ancient Egyptian combat. The fighters of ancient Egypt were the greatest and feared of the ancient world. Ahakamat employs the latest archaeological research to construct the lessons for you to learn. The secrets of the Ahatiu, the fighters of ancient Egypt. Find us online at ancientegyptcombat.com.
The late Neolithic, or New Stone Period, was when people began sedentary lives around the Nile as they escaped the encroaching deserts surrounding the region. Little archaeological evidence has been uncovered from 9,000 to 6,000 BCE in Egypt. Still, suddenly, in circa 6,000 BCE, Neolithic settlements began in different parts of Egypt. Which biological morphology and genetic evidence attribute to migration from the Fertile Crescent of Mesopotamia? Lower Egypt saw settlements in Fayum, Merimde, El Omari, and Ma'adi. Upper Egypt had settlements in Deir Tassa, Badari, El Amra, and Gerzeh. The cultures that grew from the settlements had built cities with upwards of 5,000 people, and agriculture subsisted on their growth. It was circa 4400 BCE that the culture named for the town of Naqqara began to become the dominant culture in ancient Egypt. Divided into three periods, the Naqqara culture displayed its intelligence with copper tools, trade routes to the oases between Upper and Lower Egypt, Nubia, Ethiopia, and the Near East, stylistic pottery, distinct burials, and most importantly, writing. Naqqara 1, circa 4000 to 3500 BCE, is also named the Amaratian culture for the site of El Amra in Upper Egypt. Trade goods, artifacts, attest to trade with Nubia, Ethiopia, Lower Egypt, Western Desert Oases, and the Eastern Mediterranean. The Naqqara Egyptians began using reed boats to row the Nile, and enslaved people were also evident then. We also see cosmetic palettes made with animal motifs. Each city had its patron animal deity. A pre-dynastic temple of Seth is also found at El Amra. Naqqara II, circa 3500 to 3200 BCE, is named Gerzian after the site of Gerzeh. While separated from Naqqara I, Gerzian culture seems to have been unbroken from Amaratian, though distinct, as it attempted to acculturate Nubians of the Amaratian culture and failed. We see a significant influence of Mesopotamian culture on Naqqara II, but little evidence of the previously attested and so-called dynastic race, or Mesopotamian ruling class. It is presumed that increased trade occurred by way of the Red Sea into the Near East, but it is also possible that small migrations from Mesopotamia caused the influence. Proto-hieroglyphs are recognized on Gerzeh pottery. Grave goods increased in this period, with imports of ivory, gold, cosmetic palettes, and the production of meteoric iron beads, the earliest found use of iron. Evolving into Naqqara III, or the Samanian, also called the Proto-Dynastic Period, circa 3200 to 3000 BCE, was a period of political unification when Upper and Lower Egypt were united as the two lands under one rule. The last by He of the Sedge and the Honeybee. This 200-year period is marked by city rulers battling over the dominance of the two lands. You can imagine skirmishes occurring more frequently, both physical and verbal. One needs only look at the literature of myths and legends to see how this was remembered. As the need arose, the city's patron god of Sattat, or Seth, transitioned from agriculture to confusion and rebellion. Horus's name permeated the north and south in many forms and stories, syncretism of various deities as they formed exchanges and merged. The two lands were culturally and linguistically related, but still considered separate regions. Upper and Lower Egypt had grown culturally distinct from the land south of the first cataract barrier on the Nile, known today as Nubia, or Sudan. The two lands had to be united under one ruler. To date, most evidence discounts clans or tribal rulers forming a dynastic succession. The rulers of Upper Egypt were crowned with a hajat, white conical headdress, known as nasut, of the place of the Upper Egyptian plant, from the words na, meaning of or water, su, a typical Upper Egyptian plant, and Lower Egyptian rulers bearing the dasharat, red crown, a chair-shaped crown with low front and tall back, from which protrudes a coil, battled at this time for supremacy. This period was also named the Thinite Confederacy, hypothesized by tribal nobles from Thinis, who warred with Nachan, or Hierakonpolis. At this point, there appears to be no clan or tribal rulers that band together. In the end, there was only one victor and one defeated. In Abydos, burials were found by Upper Egyptian rulers, such as the Tomb of Scorpion, where the first Egyptian hieroglyphs are found on ivory tiles. During this time, funerary tombs were more elaborate, extensively using Abydos as a royal necropolis. Rulers used the Sarakh, or Serek, a hieroglyph representing the royal courtyard, to surround the royal ruler's name. From graphical narratives, the rulership was one of conquest from Upper Egypt, vanishing Lower Egyptian rulers. We also see the first evidence of irrigation in royal depictions. Sails were attached to boats and thus allowed for further travel on the Nile. The proto-dynastic period is divided further into two so-called dynasties. The proto-dynastic period is divided further into two so-called dynasties. Though no corroborating evidence displays the interrelations of the rulers of the north and south during this period.
Step into the Temple of Memory, where incense curls and the voices of the ancients still whisper, at Tapuya, reconstructing ancient Egyptian culture. I bring you media that revives myth, ritual, and the living pulse of Egypt's sacred past. By joining me on Patreon at patreon.com/TAWY Ancient Egypt, TAWY Ancient Egypt, you will unlock exclusive posts, behind the scenes insights, and deeper explorations into the mysteries of the Nile. Your support helps keep this work alive, bridging the ancient and the modern, ceremonial and the creative. Become a patron today. Enter the temple. Keep the flame burning.
The sands shift, the sun sets, but the voices of Egypt's pharaohs still echo across time. Thank you for joining us on this journey through power, myth, and memory. If you enjoyed today's episode, follow Voices of the Pharaohs and share it with fellow seekers of history. Until we meet again, may the Nile guide your path, and may the past continue to speak. Tapuya Podcast Channel, wisdom for the ear. From ancient Egypt.